हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Let us read the mantras here. The words of the mantra convey very little, but what exactly we need to understand this through these words is different. Different means we have to know much more than what these words literally mean. So, before I enter into this class today, I wanted to remind you one thing, exactly how Vedashastram teaches. Teaches means teaches, presents the teaching in order to accomplish the ultimate goal. Of course, we know very well, Vedashastram is a pramanam. The entire Vedashastram is a pramanam, a means of knowledge of the truth. And we also know, repeatedly listen to the teaching, this truth of the universe has to be understood as one's own self. And even to arrive at what one's own essential nature is, we need a pramanam, which is Vedanta Shastra Pramanam. But still we say the entire Veda is the pramanam. Not only, we don't say only Vedanta is the pramanam. Veda Shastram is the pramanam. So even if we do not study the entire Veda Shastram, still we follow the way of life enjoined by the Veda Shastram. I mean, especially living a life karma yoga is actually a means of preparing one's mind. So the Purva Bhaga of the Veda, Karma Upasana Kandas serve as a means of attaining knowledge, because they contribute for, they present the teaching for preparing one's mind. We generally, in Bhagavad Gita, we understand one has to live a life of karma yoga. That is different. In every action we do, in mundane activities, whatever we do, we have to see that we have proper attitude in doing the actions, we have proper attitude in facing situations, and of course, we have to be very conscious conscious that our actions should not transgress the value, universal values. So there must be conformity with dharma. This we understand. But here, the Vedashastram teaches upasanam, meditation, emphasizes the practicing the discipline of upasanam, meditation. And upasanam is saguna brahma upasanam. So, nowadays, we do not actually practice Aguna Brahma Upasanam. We do not practice Aguna Brahma Upasanam means we do not practice the meditations prescribed by the Vedashastram. We do not practice the meditations presented in the Upasana Kanda of the Vedashastram. Because that needs the knowledge of the Veda mantras. We do not know. But still, we do not worry, because there's something substitute for this Vedic meditation. And Saguna Brahma Upasanam, prescribed in the Upasana Kanda of the Veda, cannot be practiced by people like us who do not have the knowledge of the Veda mantras. Because we are not Vedic students, but we are eligible to study the Vedanta Shastram. And we can understand the core vision of the Veda Shastram, we can really understand. And we can understand the way of life that we need to follow to prepare our minds. But, so living a life karma yoga implies following Panchamaha Yajnas. And following Panchamaha Yajnas means being religious, being ethical. So being religious means being worshipful and prayerful. So being worshipful, being prayerful makes a person a religious person, which means being worshipful is in fact involving oneself in Deva Yajna, one of the Panchamaha Yajnas. Being worshipful and being prayerful means involving oneself in Deva Yajna. It's a must, compulsory. So when we go to temples and pray, or when we sit at home and do pujas, we recite the stotrams, we recite in any our native language, verses in praise of Bhagavan, we sing in praise of Bhagavan, they all together stand for the upasanam, Saguna Brahma upasanam. That is why when we do the puja, we instead of entertaining many people, we must sit with a focused attention. We can always invite people to come for prasadam at the end of the puja, so that you can be focused in your puja. When you do perform a puja at home, when you go to the temple and do the puja, when you're praying also, we must be focused. But in the temple, what happens? People make a lot of noise. We're not able to focus on anything. Of course, the temple, there's a lot of noise happens when they appear and they do the instruments. There's noise. Then also our mind must be only in listening to the mridangam, in listening to the nadaswaram, in listening to, in seeing the murti's forms, in seeing the decoration of the murti's, in seeing the malas, in seeing the temple gopuram. The mind must be only there. We should not entertain any other thoughts, worldly thoughts. Then it becomes upasanam. So upasana means placing one's mind in anything and everything associated with Bhagavan. But this is a Beda Upasanam, Beda Jnanam. Why? Because in this Upasanam, you see yourself as a meditator, and whatever you are focusing on is something pertaining to Bhagavan, associated with the Bhagavan. You see the Murti, it's Bhagavan, the Murti which stands for Bhagavan, Bhagavan's form. And you see the garlands, you see the decoration, you see the costumes, you see, and you see the temple gopuram, you see, and then you hear the nadaswaram, you hear the mridangam, you hear all tabil, etc. And you hear the priest chanting, whatever you understand or not. And sometimes you see Odhuvar sing so beautifully. If people who can follow Tamil can enjoy that also. All this, the focus must be in what is happening in the temple. Then arati happens. Attention must be there. This is also a pre-preparation for Saguna Upasana. It's a Saguna Upasana. When you do puja at home yourself, you're chanting, you're doing japa, it's all Saguna Upasanam only, which is substitute for actually the Vedic Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Vedic meditation. So we are not missing that anyway. It's equally effective. But we must be focused. The problem is, we go to temples, we do worship, and then we come back, but we are not at all focused. The crowd and noise sometimes distracts. At least at home, that is why Manasa Japaha or Vachika Japaha is always emphasized by all the Acharyas, which is substitute for doing regular Japa. Suppose whether you are doing Namashivaya Mantra Japa, Om Narayanaya Mantra Japa, Om Gam Ganapati Mantra Japa, whichever one mantra which you are repeating, which you have got it from a guru or somebody, then we are doing means, or even if you're chanting regularly Vishu Sahasranama or Latla Sahasranama, if you're focused, then actually Yeka Mantra Japa, that is the substitute for Saguna Brahma Upasanam nowadays. Because we cannot practice Saguna Brahma Upasanam. So what is Saguna Brahma Upasanam for? Apart from living consciously a life of karma yoga with the proper attitude in conformity with dharma, always, you know, praying to Bhagavan to bless us the strength to be equanimous in all situations. If a person is worshipful, thankful to Bhagavan, if a person expresses gratitude to Bhagavan by way of worshipping him and praying to Bhagavan for the strength to live a life of dharma, praying for everything a person needs to bless him with everything that he needs in life, then this becomes upasanam, substitute for upasanam. But we must try our best to be focused. That's more important. So if a person regularly has this habit of worshipping and at the particular time, in a certain way, in due course of time, that puja person performs, which is equivalent to Saguna Brahma Upasana, which is Upasanam, substitute for Saguna Brahma Upasanam, will bless that person with certain mental preparedness, mental steadiness. Because when you're doing the puja, Sodashupachara puja, Panchupachara puja, you're continuously placing your mind there, it will bless the person with certain preparedness, steadiness. And because living a karma yoga will bless a person with mental purification. I mean, you will be able to manage your emotions with your commitment to dharma. This is how one can be prepared. Apart from this, and Ashtanga yoga practice also is emphasized for mental preparation. One must live a life karma yoga. That is, one has to be conscious of dharma so that one can handle one's emotions, one can have relative mental purification. One must be worshipful and prayerful, expressing one's gratitude to Bhagavan, thereby one can have mental steadiness. So the worship and prayer become substitute for upasana, guna brahma upasana. Then, apart from this, Shastram also emphasizes for some people Ashtanga Yoga Abhyasaha. Ashtanga Yoga Abhyasa means practice of eightfold limbs of yoga. Again, it's a discipline. It's not compulsory that everyone should practice Ashtanga Yoga. See, if living a life karma yoga implies following certain limbs of yoga. In Ashtanga Yoga, of course, it's yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, etc. We have Ashtanga Yoga also is emphasized, recommended for people for mental preparation. One must understand the eightfold limbs of yoga. One must strictly practice them with a commitment. It is not easy. One cannot easily practice Ashtanga Yoga unless a person has some commitment. It involves tremendous discipline. Otherwise, one cannot practice. One must practice Ashtanga Yoga for mental preparation. Okay, it is not practical for other people. Leave with that. Then we have what? Of course, living a life of Karma Yoga, there's no choice. One must have followed Karma Yoga for mental purification. Apart from that, one must practice Saguna Brahma Upasanam, wherein it's a Dvaita Upasanam, Beda Upasanam, because there's a Beda Jnanam, because meditator is definitely different from what is meditated upon. Because Saguna Brahma means one sees Bhagavan as something other than oneself. Saguna Brahma Upasanam. And it's Upasanam for which we have worship and prayer as a substitute. It's a compulsory. Only then, in due course of time, one can become adequately prepared. One can have adequate mental purification. And one can be relatively pure and steady. With that adequate mental preparedness, with relative mental purification steadiness, if a person is given to this discipline of Shravanam, then without any difficulty, subject matter can be understood easily. The teaching will work. Sometimes even without mananam, one can have withdraw easily one's mind, sense organs from objects. And along with one will not entertain any other thoughts, because the mind can constantly dwell upon the teaching. Then sense organs will be withdrawn from the sense objects, because mind is not available for the sense organs to perceive things, to place the attention. Therefore, this is how sense organs along with the mind can abide in the Atma, means when there is contemplation happens, Of course, in contemplation, there is abheda jnanam, abheda jnanam, abheda upasanam, which means wherein you see Paramatma as yourself. You see yourself being non-separate from Paramatma, which is nididhyasanam. And nididhyasanam in due course of time will, of course, bless you with the ascertained vision, which can be remembered forever, which will never be forgotten. All the wrong notions you entertain about yourself will resolve for good. Even habitual errors will resolve so that one can enjoy the freedom which is already there as one's own nature. This is how the teaching is. But what happens if a person has not practiced Ashtanga Yoga? Because we're not told, we're not taught. A person has not practiced any, cannot practice any Saguna Brahma Upasanam. But how can, but still a person has to prepare oneself for the jnanam, for which, of course, Bhagavad Gita teaches as Karma Yoga. And while living Karma Yoga, when you wait to become mentally pure and steady, so simultaneously taking care of your mental preparedness, trying to live a life of Karma Yoga prayerfully, worshipfully, when you're not yet ready also, when you're listening to the teaching, when you do Shravanam, of course knowledge takes place, but the knowledge does not become effective. Why? Because knowledge happens as a result of listening to the unfoldment of the subject matter of the Shastram. Knowledge does happen. Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Atma Asmi, I the Self am consciousness, distinct from the body, mind and complex, because I'm here as the knower. As a knower, I'm different from the body, mind and complex, etc. This knowledge does happen. But still the knowledge is not effective. Why? Even after understanding Aham Atma, Aham Brahma Asmi through Shravanam, still I do not seem to be enjoying the moksha, benefit of the knowledge. Which, why? Because the assimilation is not there. Because still the mind is not ready. Without being mentally adequately prepared, even if a person is given to this discipline of Shravanam, one can attain knowledge, but one cannot enjoy the benefit of Jnanam. If a person cannot enjoy the benefit of knowledge, that knowledge is as good as ignorance. Why? Because there are many doubts also will be there in that knowledge. Doubtful knowledge also, it becomes a doubtful knowledge. It becomes knowledge which is not beneficial, doesn't allow a person to enjoy the benefit because of lack of mental preparedness. So mental preparedness is very, very important. Therefore, in order to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge, again, Shastram, even if a person missed Ashtanga Yoga practice, or if a person did not practice Saguna Brahma Upasanam, then still a person needs to become mentally prepared for that. A person has to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge. He does the, without preparation, the person somehow, he doesn't have adequate mental steadiness. But still he has listened to the teaching, understood the teaching, but he's not able to enjoy the benefit of the teaching. So in order to enjoy the benefit of the teaching, he has to simultaneously take care of that, for which Shastram prescribes other discipline. What is that? Mananam, to resolve the doubts, and Nididhyasanam. So Nididhyasanam is a Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. That is Abheda Upasanam, Abheda Jnanam. What is Nididhyasanam? Nididhyasanam means repeatedly dwelling upon the facts a person has already understood through Shravanam. So reliving Shravanam. repeatedly dwelling upon the teaching when a person has understood, which means attention of the mind must be placed continuously in the teaching which one has already understood. That is why Nidhyasana is impossible without having gone through Shravanam. Okay, doesn't matter even if you have not prepared your mind, if you have not practiced any Saguna Brahma Upasanam, if you have not practiced any Ashtanga Yoga, still, or you only lived life, living a life karma yoga, but also listening. So you want to enjoy the benefit of the teaching, means the teaching, the listening must be followed by contemplation. Means always. And there's the two ways of dwelling upon the teaching. Two ways of practicing Nididhyasanam. How you can always, whatever you understood very clearly, okay, not doubtfully, whatever you have clearly understood, but you have not yet assimilated, means before sharing that knowledge with other people through teaching. See, you must have thoroughly studied, you must have clearly understood the teaching, but yet to assimilate the teaching means when you're repeatedly talking, discuss teaching, present the teaching, share your knowledge with other people through teaching, then this also becomes Nididhyasanam. It's called Brahma Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasanam. Brahma Abhyasaha means what? Repeatedly discussing the subject matter of the Shastram which one has clearly understood. So whenever you place yourself in discussion, in teaching, you're sharing the knowledge, your mind cannot go elsewhere apart from subject matter of the Shastra, which you have clearly understood. This is one way of contemplating upon the teaching. I mean, placing your attention in the teaching. This is Brahma Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasanam. This is one thing. Otherwise, I know I have understood very clearly and I don't want to discuss the teaching. I don't want to share my knowledge through teaching, if you think. And you yourself are able to sit without any distraction and you can repeatedly dwell upon the teaching. You must have already understood the teaching. You must have clear understanding of the teaching. Yes, this is what I have no doubt in this. I have clearly understood this. I, the knower, am consciousness. And there's nothing beyond consciousness. The consciousness is timeless, spatially limitless, objectively limitless. And its consciousness is the only truth of the whole universe. Because the universe being entire objective universe, including one's body, mind, and complex being material product, it has no independent existence of its own at all. Therefore, the universe, this consciousness is the only satyam. This consciousness is implied by the term Brahma, and this consciousness is implied by the term Atma. I am Atma. I am Brahma. Satyam Brahma. I, the self, am the truth, the reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma. And there is no Jagat which exists independently outside of I, the consciousness. And really speaking, the whole Jagat is Mithya. How does Jagat is Mithya? The Jagat is not at all real. Not at all real means you have to see it is not permanent. It is not independent. It comes and goes. We are so real mean. What happens? As if we can be dependent on this world forever. No. This world comes and goes. It is not always available for our experience and enjoyment. It comes and goes. It is impermanent. At the same time, it has no independent existence of its own. Therefore, it is mithya. Repeatedly, one has to dwell upon the fact about the world. And before that, one had repeatedly dwell upon the fact about the truth, one's own essential nature being the truth. How one has to independently, without sharing one's knowledge with others, one must be able to dwell upon the teaching, the facts one understood through the Shravanam. If I can independently dwell upon the teaching without discussing, sharing with others, it is called Samadhi Rupa, Samadhi Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasanam. It's called Samadhi Abhyasaha. Samadhi Abhyasaha means Nididhyasanam practiced independently. Without sharing, without discussing, just with the focus, attention, just dwelling upon the teaching. It's called Samadhi Abhyasaha. What Samadhi means? Samadho, the practicing this meditation, wherein no one known meditator division is not there, but what I'm dwelling upon? About dwelling upon the teaching, which is nothing but my own nature, Swarupam. See, repeatedly seeing, what is this I? I is nothing but consciousness. We have to repeatedly see this. Definitely, meaning of the word I. In a way, the word I itself is expression of the cognition, thought only. So that I cognition, for that which is expressed as a word I, then for that, body is not the meaning. Sense organs are not the meaning. Mind is not the meaning. Emotions are not the meaning. Not even intellect. Not even anandamaya kosha. Not even avidya. But the knower of avidya, knower of anandaha, knower of the bliss, that knower is consciousness. Knower and consciousness are not two different things. That knower is the reality. Knower and reality are not two different things. Just as wave is water, the knower is consciousness. The knower, the. Therefore, I, the knower, I am consciousness. And this consciousness is one, indivisible, undivided, partless, whole. His consciousness is implied by the term Brahma. Consciousness is implied by the term Atma. All the words in the Upanishad Shastram actually reveal this reality in terms of its nature. One has to be convinced, repeatedly see this. At the same time, then what is this? What about this time, space and world, forms and names and functions? It's all mithya. It has no existence at all outside of awareness. Just as opaque things do not have existence outside of the light, the world of material things, material forms, names and functions, doesn't matter whatever is the form of the object, whether sound or form or touch or taste, no object has existence outside of the awareness. When any object enjoys existence, along with the object, what he sees, what is there as existence of the object is the awareness. Awareness is the existence. Consciousness is in the form of existence of an object. Therefore, we can say the world of material things, which enjoys its existence in the light of awareness, is mithya. There's no independent existence at all. Therefore, we have to say what? This whole jagat also, I the self am the whole. When you say the universe becomes negate as mithya, it's called Badhayam Samanadhikaranyam. The whole I am, I itself am the whole, which means the matter is consciousness. Because you don't say consciousness as something other than you. Instead of saying matter is consciousness, you say I am the whole. I itself am the whole means you place the essence in consciousness. Then you say there's nothing in the world which exists outside of I, the consciousness. And also, aham சோகம் அகமீஸ்வர, அகம் பிரம்மாஸ்மி, ஐ தி செல்ஃப் ஆம் தி ட்ரூத். ஸோ அகம் சோகம், தேர் இஸ் நோ ஈஸ்வரா, பிகாஸ் ஈஸ்வரா இஸ் தி ட்ரூத் அண்ட் ஈஸ்வரா தி ட்ரூத் அஸ் ஈஸ்வரா இஸ் தேர் அஸ் தி ட்ரூத் ஆஃப் எவ்ரி பீங், எவ்ரி செல்ஃப். தெர்ஃபோர் ஜீவா இஸ் தேர்ஸ் நோ ஜீவா, தேர்ஸ் நோ ஜெகத், தேர்ஸ் நோ ஈஸ்வரா, எவ்ரி திங் இஸ் ஒன், ஆல் ஆர் ஒன். அண்ட் திஸ் யூ கேன் சிம்பிளி மெக்கானிக்லி சே திஸ், ஒன் ஹேஸ் ரிப்பீட்டட்லி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் திஸ் அண்ட் ரிப்பீட்டட்லி டெவலப் ஆன் திஸ். ஐம் ஜஸ்ட் சேயிங், ஜஸ்ட் கிவிங் எக்ஸாம்பிள், தட்ஸ் ஆல். வாட் யூ கிளியர்லி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட், யூ மஸ்ட் பி ஏபிள் டு டெவலப் ஆன், கான்ஸ்டன்ட்லி மெடிடேட் அப்பான், கான்டெம்ப்ரேட் அப்பான் இண்டிபெண்டன்ட்லி. தென் your mind is placed in the teaching, the vision of the shastram, the nature of your own self. The mind is placed in dwelling upon the facts. It is called samadhi abhyasaha. Samadhi abhyasaha is a form of contemplation, one form of contemplation, one type of contemplation. So brahma abhyasaha, brahma abhyasaha means sharing the teaching with others, or sharing the knowledge with others through teaching, discussing subject matter of the shastra, thereby placing the mind in the teaching. This is brahma abhyasaha, samadhi abhyasaha, brahma abhyasaha. These are the two types, two ways of practicing nididhyasanam, otherwise said to be contemplation. This contemplation is a must for people who are not ready for enjoying the benefit of the knowledge. Why they are not ready? Because their mind, they are not prepared mentally. They gone through shravanam, understood the teaching, attained knowledge, still not able to enjoy the benefit of the teaching because they are not mentally ready, prepared for enjoying the benefit. They are unable to assimilate the teaching because they have not practiced before Ashtanga Yoga Abhyasa. They are not practiced any Sagana Upasanam. But at least they are living Alayav Karma Yoga. As part of living Alayav Karma Yoga, they are prayerful, they are worshipful, which that worship and prayer become substitute for the meditation. Still, they are not adequately prepared. Therefore, all Upanishads uniformly emphasize this discipline of Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam, what happens? You see your own Swarupam being non-separate from the total, non-separate from Ishvara. This, you see yourself being the very truth. There's no, you do not see yourself as jiva. You see you, the jiva, are non-separate from Ishvara. And because you are essentially the truth, Ishvara is essentially the truth, therefore you are the whole. And this, seeing this your Swarupam being already the truth, is in fact said to be yogaha. The word yogaha, now I have come to the class now, okay? In this mantra, what does the word yogaha mean? Yogaha literally means yojanam, means joining. Yojanam, yuj is the dhatu. For the sake of Sanskrit students, I'm telling this. Yuj means it's a dhatu. To join, to connect, to unite. And yujyate. And yojanam is a gerund. It's a neuter noun. Yogaha is a masculine noun. Yuktihi is a feminine noun. Okay, yuktihi, yojanam, yogaha. But the word yoga is very much, we don't use the term yojanam or yukti, but here yogaha we use. So yogaha means joining, connection, uniting, or union. But here, when the contemplation is, when the contemplation or meditation is meant by the term yogaha, what the mind is placed in Bhagavan, placed in Sagunam Brahma, either Virat or Hiranyagarbha, or anything pertaining to Bhagavan, it is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Then it's called yogaha. There's meditation. Mind is not away from Bhagavan. Okay? Still Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Otherwise, in this context, the word yogaha means nididhyasanam, contemplation, which is a meditation. Contemplation is a meditation. Why? Because contemplation is a mental activity. But here, the attention is placed in one's own swarupam, subject matter of the shastram, the teaching. And in thereby, what you see, in fact, even though the word yoga literally means union, what it's implied here is, when you place your mind in the teaching, you see yourself being the Atma. You see yourself being Paramatma. You see yourself being the very reality. Then what happens? The essence is dissociated, take shifted from Anatma. See, I am the body, that notion is dropped. I am the sense organs, that notion is not there. I am the mind, I am the emotions, I am the intellect. This, so essence is not in the, when you're dwelling upon the teaching, essence is not identified with Anatma. See, when you are dwelling upon the teaching of the subject matter of the Shastram, then essence cannot be. Essence definitely is not identified with, associated with Anatma, body maintenance complex. You don't really work very hard to shift the essence. Just dwelling upon the teaching itself is enough. Because Shastram repeatedly makes you see, you are the knower, and you the knower are being distinct from the known. You the knower are nothing but pure abstract consciousness. You the knower are nothing but abstract consciousness. You the knower are distinct, different from the known. And you the knower being different and distinct from the known, you are abstract subtle awareness. Repeatedly Shastram tells this. Therefore, when you see this again and again, in dwelling upon the teaching, when you're in contemplation, definitely essence becomes shifted from Anatma, and there is dissociation with Anatma, cognitive dissociation, not physical dissociation. Cognitively, you dissociate yourself from Anatma in contemplation. This consciously, cognitively dissociating thoughtfully oneself from Anatma by dwelling upon the teaching, by placing one's attention to the teaching, is called yogaha. Is it clear now? What is yogaha? This is what is yogaha. In these two mantras, we come across the word yogaha. You don't unite yourself in Paramatma, okay? Jivatma, Paramatma, union does not happen. There's no union at all. There's no uniting. You cannot unite yourself anywhere. Everything is, okay? Taking and then uniting means a big people have union happens. You merge. No merging happens. No union happens. Nothing is united. In contemplation, the wrong notions resolve. Cognitive dissociation happens. That is what is yogaha. Where you do not become united with Paramatma, you see already being Paramatma. You see yourself already being non-separate from Paramatma. Is it clear? Clear or not? This is what is yogaha. To come without explaining this, I cannot go ahead with the class today. That's why it took this much time. It's all right? So now we need not regret, oh my God, when am I going to learn Ashtanga Yoga, when I'm going to practice? there is a certain degree of yamaha, niyamaha in all our lives. If you're living a life of karma yoga, means you are practicing yama niyama. You may not be practicing pranayama. You may not be practicing asanas. Even if you're practicing asanas also, still it's not ashtanga yoga. It's only just exercise, like physical exercise you're practicing. So what? And then, oh my God, dharana, dhyanam, all anything you have not practiced doesn't matter. We have substitute. That is why always understand the importance, the necessity of going to temple and praying, worshipping also. Substitute for Saguna Brahma, Upasanam, prescribed in the Veda Shastra. Understand? That is why we have to always validate. The problem is, you must make use of the time when you go to temple. So going to temple is an important, whether you sit and do the puja at home, that is why the Nitya Japa is very, very important. Nitya Japaha, what you are practicing, is a preparation. It is substitute for your Vedic meditation. We are not eligible to practice Vedic meditation. Why? Because Vedantic meditation you can practice. Vedantic meditation is what? Nididhyasana. Understand Vedanta subject matter of the Shastram, you dwell upon the teaching. Where you see the facts, Aham Brahmasmi, Jagat Mithya, Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Aham Brahmasmi, I am the truth, this I am Brahman, the Brahman is the truth, and the Jagat is Mithya. This is the fact you see, this is a fact. This, you can't simply say that you understand the fact, you dwell upon the fact. It is Nididhyasana. Isn't it? So, Shravanam must be there for that. But Ashtanga Yoga, you have not practiced. And the Vedic meditation, you can't practice because you do not know the Veda mantras. Without having thorough knowledge of the recitation of the Veda mantras, it is impossible for us to practice Vedic meditations. Understand? So, we don't need to worry about it. But we have substitute. Even then, you don't need to worry about anything. Now, living a life of karma yoga, taking care of your mental purification, and after Shravanam, if you can practice, make an effort to practice Nididhyasanam, then that becomes, that is for what? For enjoying the benefit of the knowledge. That compensates, that takes care of your already being not mentally prepared. If you're not mentally prepared, don't worry. Now you must practice Nididhyasanam. If you're already prepared, Nididhyasanam is not required. Shravanam itself would have given you, blessed you with ascertained vision. Shravanam itself would have blessed you with moksha. Is it clear? Nididhyasanam is a must for all of us. That is what is meant by the term Yogaha. Okay. So let me read this mantra now. In mantra 10, I said, what is paramagati? Moksha is nothing but seeing your own nature is moksha. And for which you must be contemplative. And whenever you are contemplative, your mind is totally, attention is totally placed in the subject matter of the Shastram, your own Swarupam, means the sense powers abide in the Swarupam along with the mind. Therefore, what Buddhi, where is the Buddhi? The Buddhi is busy in seeing your own Swarupam. Therefore, Buddhi also does not waver. We saw that the 10th mantra, 11th mantra, we just read, we didn't have not explained that. Okay. Tam yogamiti manyante. Tam yogamiti manyante. So men of wisdom, men of vision, consider that as yoga. What is that? Sthiram indriya dharanam. What is sthira indriya dharana? Sthira indriya dharana means all the sense powers remain, remain remain calm, which means they simply perceive the objects, but they do not function as reporters. Why they function as reporters? Because mind is available for them to report to. They just they're there. And then such sense organs are said to be sthira indriya dharana, which means mind is, attention of the mind is not available for anything. The mind, not available, attention is not available for anything. No emotions also rise because the intellect does not waver. We already seen where is certain whole attention. The attention is in dwelling upon the teaching. How attention is dwelling upon the teaching? Either in the form of discussing the subject matter which has been clearly understood, or in the form of sharing the knowledge with others through teaching. Then mind or person's attention is in the teaching. This is Brahma Abhyasaha. It's called Brahma Abhyasaha. Practicing Brahma means what? Brahma Abhyasaha means repeatedly dwelling upon subject matter of the teaching through sharing one's knowledge with others or discussing. This is Yogaha. Otherwise, Samadhi Abhyasaha means independently sitting and dwelling upon the teaching. Without discussing it with others, without sharing it through teaching, just you yourself dwell upon the teaching independently. It is Samadhi Abhyasaha. You practice in your own mind. Samadhi Abhyasaha. These two ways of practicing contemplation, which is what is Yogaha. Then what happens? Attention is not available. The mind, the emotions resolve, and then all the sense powers also abide in the Atma. It's called Sthira Indriya Dharana. So Sthiram Indriya Dharanam Yogam Iti Manyante. This is what happens when a person is in contemplation. You just see the truth as yourself. You see yourself. Then, tada yogaha apramattaha bhavati. Apramattaha, I told you, it should be taken as bhavet. When the sense powers remain resolved, the mind remains resolved, the total focus is the teaching, the contemplation, naturally, one must be conscious also. One must be alert. Why? When you are dwelling upon the teaching, very easy for the mind to go somewhere else. If you are not alert, it is possible for the attention to go away somewhere else, isn't it? Just as in simple japa, mind goes somewhere. In meditation, mind goes somewhere. Contemplation also, mind can go. That's what here the Upanishad wants. Apramattaha bhavet. Mean one must be folk, one must be conscious, thoughtful, already conscious of consciousness, but now suddenly attention may go somewhere. So one must be alert that you see whenever attention goes little away from the teaching, then immediately you must bring the attention back. That's what being alert. Apramattaha bhavati. Why one should be alert? Because yogaha hi prabhavaha apyayaha. Because there's a time you start focusing on the teaching. That's called prabhavaha. Yogaha comes and goes. Yoga as beginning, yoga has an end. Means what? Prabhavaha apyayaha means this contemplation begins, contemplation ends. Of course, Atma doesn't come and go. But when you start dwelling, that beginning, when you begin to dwell, it is prabhavaha. But when you are dwelling, mind can go somewhere. Then comes a apyayaha, end. So there is rise of this first beginning of this contemplation. And in between, there may be some disturbance. Again, it can there can be end also. So, but you must have continuous meditation. Contemplation must be continuous for length of time. Even it's not for 24 hours a day. When in during the waking time, as much as possible, as long as possible, you must be able to be contemplative. That's what, therefore, one must be conscious, thoughtful, alert. That even when you're dwelling upon, in spite of having a clear understanding, in spite of making possible efforts to dwell upon the teaching, still there's a possibility of attention getting distracted. So one must be alert, because this contemplation begins and contemplation will end also. So one must try to be continuously contemplative as long as possible in the waking state. I don't need to tell you, must be contemplative in dream state and deep sleep state. I can't tell you this, isn't it? We know you cannot be contemplative in other states. This is the meaning we need to understand from the 11th mantra. Is it clear? Yesterday I started. See, you can't get much from these two lines. You have to know this much. Okay. Tam yogamiti manyante, tam sthiram indriya dharanam yogamiti manyante. Tada apyoga, tada apramattaha bhavet. Why? Because yogaha hi prabhavapyayo. I mean, yoga has beginning, yoga has an end. Yoga comes and goes. Yoga rises and falls. Yoga means less contemplation. So what is yogaha? Yogaha is not union. Yogaha is not connection. Yogaha is not that uniting as anything. Yogaha is just dropping cognitively the erroneous notions one has about oneself. While dwelling upon one's nature, naturally, cognitively, dissociation with anatma, when it happens, it is called yogaha. Being yourself is yogaha. Being yourself means what? Not having association. Wrong identity with anatma is ayogaha. Having wrong identity is ayogaha. Having right identity, being yourself, is yogaha. And how can you avoid ayogaha? How can you avoid wrong identity? How can you shift your essence from anatma to atma? You can't physically shift. Dwell upon the teaching, what you are. Repeatedly you see what you are, what you are, what you are, what you are. You are Brahma, you are Brahma, you are Atma. You're seeing. When you're seeing, then repeatedly seeing what you are is what? Cognitively, effortlessly shifting the essence from anatma to atma, dissociating once from anatma. This is yogaha. When you see what you are, and you also see what is satyam, what is mithya, you see jagat being mithya. That also becomes clear. This is what is yogaha. So in this context, another fact needs to be remembered. I attended recently a yoga federation, something. They're all very nice people doing great work of marketing all Indian stuff. But the problem is, they all think meditation is the only means of attaining moksha. They love meditation and they're really genuine. They're very genuine people and they're very disciplined people. Very conscious of practicing the yoga. The way they practice yoga, they follow their vegetarians, they live a clean life, and they are really adorable. But there's some misunderstanding. Meditation is enough. meditation is enough. And that fact also we have to understand. This in this context, through this Upanishad, we understand meditation can never remove ignorance. Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Saguna Upasanam, Dvaita Upasanam, Beda Upasanam, or meditation with Beda Jnanam. Practice of meditation with Beda Jnanam is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. I am the meditator. I, the meditator, am different from the Ishvara I meditate upon. Means it's a Beda Jnanam. Ishvara is object of meditation. Still, but I mistake. I see Ishvara as someone different from me. It's Beda Jnanam. Meditation upon Ishvara with Beda Jnanam, with difference. Seeing oneself as the meditator different from the meditated Ishvara. This is Saguna Upasanam. And this meditation is recommended, emphasized by the Shastram. And this, in fact, in worship, in prayer, this Dvaita Beda Jnanam is there. When you are worship, if you are a worshipper, if you are praying to the Lord, definitely this Beda Jnanam is there. Nothing wrong. It is important for us. But this meditation also will not remove ignorance. And the ultimate purpose of practicing this meditation for a mukshu is to have mental steadiness, emotional stability. That is what Upasanam can do. Why I should worship? Why should I express my gratitude to Bhagavan? That is how I can remain in association with Bhagavan. By way of expressing my gratitude to Bhagavan, by worshipping, by practicing symbolic act of offering all these things, I try to place my attention in Bhagavan, things associated with Bhagavan, thereby I remain in association with Bhagavan, which is worship. And when I pray to Bhagavan also, I pray for Bhagavan's grace to have artha kama for living this life. I seek Bhagavan's grace for being able to live a life of dharma. I seek Bhagavan's grace to have a clear mind, to have the vision of Bhagavan Swarupam. I seek Bhagavan's grace for everything that I want to have in life. Then this is a prayer. And anyway, we know definitely as prayer is simple in what auto-suggestion. And worship is a symbolic act of offering to express one's gratitude to Bhagavan. Therefore, being worshipful, being prayerful, helps me remain in association with Bhagavan. Therefore, there is also Beda Jnanam is there. That is difference. I see as a worshipper, I see myself being different from the worshipped Bhagavan. I see myself as the one who is different from Bhagavan who is prayed to. That is Beda Jnanam. So this meditation, Saguna Brahma Upasanam, is practiced before the attainment of Jnanam. In order to prepare one's mind for the attainment of Jnanam, this can only help us have, in due course of time, emotional stability, mental steadiness. Nothing it can do. Of course, it will contribute for being conscious of dharma, so it will contribute for mental purity also. It will not remove ignorance. Again, the meditation as a mental activity practiced after the attainment of jnanam, after going through shravanam, after the attainment of jnanam, dwelling upon the teaching which I have understood is nididhyasanam, which is nirguna brahma upasanam, and which is also not for the removal of ignorance. So meditation practiced before the attainment of jnanam is for mental preparedness. Meditation practiced after the attainment of jnanam is for assimilation of the teaching, ascertainment of the teaching, for resolving the habit caused errors. Therefore, meditation is a mental activity which cannot remove ignorance. Action cannot undo ignorance. action itself is a product of ignorance. Therefore, action is ignorance friendly. Action being ignorance friendly, action cannot remove ignorance. Meditation is what? Mental activity. Therefore, it cannot remove. It does not remove. Knowledge alone can resolve. Knowledge also cannot destroy ignorance. When you listen to the teaching, the knowledge happens, ignorance resolves. Ignorance resolves. So knowledge is the only means of resolving ignorance. Therefore, meditation is not for resolving ignorance. This is the fact we should remember here. Therefore, here in the following verse, how the truth is attained. How the truth obtaining as one's own self is arrived at. How it is attained. How is available. That is discussed in this 12th mantra. Let us see the mantra. Are you all following? Are you all with me? Okay. Naiva vacha na manasa praptum shakyo na chakshusha. Naiva vacha na manasa. Naiva vacha na manasa praptum shakyo na chakshusha. Astiti bruvato nyatra katham tadupalabhyate. Naiva vacha na manasa praptum shakyo na chakshusha. Chakshusha astiti bruvato nyatra katham tadupalabhyate. Naiva vacha na manasa praptum shakyo na chakshusha astiti bruvato nyatra katham tadupalabhyate. So in this mantra, the question is asked. Vacha praptum na shakyaha. Vacha na praptum shakyaha. It is not possible at all to arrive at the reality through description, through the words vacha. Vacha na praptam shakyaha. Making use of the words, describing any object can be arrived at. But this Atma cannot be arrived at. It is not possible. Shakya, praptum na shakyaha. Vacha praptum na shakyaha. Why? Words can describe objects, things which have attributes. Saguna vishayaha. Vacha praptum shakyaha. Through words, objects with attributes can be arrived at. But what about this Atma? Atma is nirgunaha. Atma is absolutely of the nature of attributelessness. Therefore, being attributeless, it is not available for description. It cannot be attained through words. Vacha na praptam shakyaha. Therefore, chakshusha na praptam, manasa na praptam shakyaha. Chakshusha na praptam shakyaha. See, chakshusha praptam na shakyaha means it is not possible to arrive at Atma through sense perception. Vacha praptam na shakyaha. It is not possible to arrive at Atma through description of words. Using words. Manasa praptum na shakyaha. Atma is not available for thought conception Atma also. we understand it already in Bhagavad Gita, repeatedly we understood. Atma is not available for objectification. Atma is not perceptible through sense organs. Atma is available, is inconceivable. Same thing, indescribable. Atma cannot be described. Atma cannot be conceived. Atma cannot be perceived. Which means there's no means of knowledge can be made use of to arrive at the Atma. Except the Vedanta Shastram. And even Vedanta Shastram serves as a pramanam, does not reveal the Atma. See, we may be very careful, okay? Don't say words of Vedanta reveal the Atma. Vedanta Shastram also do not reveal the Atma directly. They only say what Atma is not. Okay, Vedanta Shastram reveals Atma by stating what Atma is not. They help you arrive at what Atma is. Understand? No pramanam can reveal the Atma. But Vedanta works differently. By negating what Atma is not, it helps you arrive at what Atma is not. Atma is. Therefore, here it is said, Chakshushana Shakyaha. Manasa sa chakshusha praptum na shakyaha. Atma is not available, not possible to arrive at Atma. Manasa praptum na shakyaha. Vacha naiva praptum shakya. Not at all possible to arrive at Atma through words. Okay. Asti iti bruvataha. But what do we say? Atma asti. If something is, means it must be available for perception, at least for thought concept, conception, or at least for description. It is not available for any pramanam, but asti iti bruvataha. But we say what? Atma asti. Atma asti. Iti bruvataha. Anyatra katham tadupalabhyate. Therefore, the person who says Atma is, asti iti braviti. There is a person who says Atma asti, Atma asti, Atma asti, Atma is, Atma is. There is reality, there is reality. Just because it is not available for cognition, not available for objectification, not available for knowledge through any of the pramanams, we cannot say, oh, Atma is non-existent. There is no such thing called Atma because it is not available for knowledge, available for objectification. We should not say that. Therefore, there is a person who says, Atma asti. Atma is the asti iti braviti. For such a person, bruvataha, for the person who states Atma is, for him, okay, bruvataha is a panchami vibhakti. So therefore, for such a person, there is no Atma other than himself. Bruvataha, anyatra katham tadupalabhyate. How does that Atma is available elsewhere? Katham tad upalabhyate. Tad means that. That is a neutral gender pronoun. Therefore, how that truth obtaining as one's own self, Atma tattvam katham upalabhyate, katham tad upalabhyate. How is that truth of the self available elsewhere other than the person himself? The truth is available for recognition as the very person who says Atma is. The question is not actually asked. How is it Atma available elsewhere other than that person himself who says Atma is? It's a question. What it means is, Atma is not available for recognition elsewhere other than outside of the person who says Atma is. Which means the very person who says Atma is, who is searching for the Atma, is himself essentially Atma. Is it clear? Which means Atma is not an object of knowledge which can be known through any of the pramanams operated by this knower. Atma is available for recognition as the very sorupam of the knower. One who states Atma is, one who wants to know who Atma is, his own sorupam is Atma. So this mantra indirectly says what? Atma is available for recognition as the truth of the knower. Which means it's very important for one, whoever wants to discover Atma, should first distinguish the knower from the known. Unless and until you distinguish the knower from the known, you can never arrive at the Atma. Why? Atma is not, does not come under the category of the known, because Atma is not an object of knowledge. Atma is not available for knowledge through any of the pramanams. So Atma is not available for sense perception. Atma is not available for thought conception. Atma is not available for word description. So Atma is not an object, which means Atma does not come under the category of the object. Atma is neither the subject, but still Atma is available for recognition as the very truth of the person who wants to know the Atma, which means the knower. Therefore, one has to distinguish one's own self as the knower from the known. When he sees this, Drik Drishya Veka Prakriya, when a person makes use of the subject-object analysis, when a person makes, when he makes use of his method of distinguishing the knower from the known, and when he can easily see how one's own physical, not only the objects external to the sense organs, even one's own physical body comes under the category of the object, then one can see one's own self being distinct from one's own body as a knower. Then one can see how one's own self as a knower being distinct from one's own physiological functions, one's own sense powers, one's own powers of organs of actions, because all these powers, everything comes under the category of the known, even though they are subtle. Then above all, one can see, distinguish one's own self as the knower from the known emotions which constitute the mind. One can distinguish oneself as the knower from the known thoughts which form part of the intellect, the knowledge. One can see one's own self being knower of the knowledge which rises and resolves. One can see one's own self even being distinct from the blankness of mind which is said to be avidya or anandamaya kosha. Then one can see how the knower is beyond all the known, which is, it includes even avidya, which includes the blankness of mind, which includes even the bliss experienced in deep sleep state. That knower, who is that knower? There's a knower, there's a knower, there's a knower. And who that knower is? You have to say, I am the knower. If I am the knower, who am I the knower? There's no knower really speaking. There's knower. There is something. There's something formless, something abstract. That abstract formless is the truth. And why does it know? Knowing is its nature. Therefore, what is implied by the term jnanam? Therefore, what? Jnanati iti jnanam. And that is what? That is how reality is. And that is of the nature of consciousness. That is of the nature of awareness. Nun unarvu. That is how awareness is. That is how consciousness is. consciousness, the pure consciousness, pure awareness, pure knowledge is the formless, abstract, subtlest reality is available for recognition as the knower. But reality is not the knower. As the knower, it is available for recognition, even though it is not the knower. Why? Knowing is not an action, it's very nature. This is how you can stumble upon the truth. So the question is, katham upalabhyate? How is it available? Katham upalabhyate? How is it available? How is it arrived at? Is arrived at as the arrived at not elsewhere. Na anyatra upalabhyate. Where is it? Very purushe. Okay? Bruvataha. Asti iti bruvataha anyatra katham na upalabhyate. Na is not there. I'm adding the word na. Okay? It is not available. Atma had available for recognition elsewhere other than the very person who says Atma is. Which means Atma is available for recognition as the abstract, subtlest reality in terms of its nature of knowing, as the very essential nature of the very truth of I. That is what is said in this mantra. Is it clear? Katham anyatra upalabhyate. Katham tad upalabhyate. Anyatra. How is it available elsewhere? No. Bruvataha. Asti iti bruvataha anyatra katham. How? No, it is not at all available elsewhere other than in a person who says Atma is. Okay, it's time now. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.